Anyone who has Bibles, they can just look at one verse, okay? And I'm going to share from several verses, but I just want to lead into this with one verse. And it's the beginning of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. And it says that God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the worlds. So this morning when I got up, I had a chore to do. I had to go up over the hills to pick up John and some of the family. And as I went up over the hills, I've gone up over those hills many times, meeting sheep on the way. But this morning, I particularly looked out, and you know what was missing? I didn't see one shepherd. You know, in the part of the world that we live in, we don't see shepherds anymore. Long ago, we read about Patrick. He was a shepherd. He was captured somewhere on the Welsh coast, taken to Ireland, and he was forced labored to become a shepherd. And the amazing thing in scripture that we see, and I'm not saying that this is a must, but it's amazing, okay? You read about some of the leaders in the scripture, and lo and behold, they all became shepherds for periods of time in their lives. So I'm not saying that you need to go off and train to be a shepherd. You actually don't see any advertisements in the paper, people looking for shepherds. They're not there. But I just want to just pick up where Stephen had been last week, and just not to look at the whole thing of shepherd, but I just want to use that as a kind of a stepping stone into where I'm going today. And it's knowing God and being known by him. So last week we heard, you know, that the Lord is my shepherd and so on. Okay. But what does it mean? Some months ago, I was traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem. There was two of us in the car, and lo and behold, it was beautiful, because there had been quite a bit of rain. All the mountains were covered in green, which is amazing in Israel because it's usually brown. And we spotted two flocks of sheep, and there was two shepherds. They weren't hunting the sheep. They were leading the sheep. The shepherd goes before the sheep. The sheep follow. And this is amazing. They were on a mountain path, and the two of them came, and they met, and they greeted each other, and they had a little conversation. And they proceeded on their way, and lo and behold, the sheep just passed through each other. And the sheep of each shepherd followed their own shepherd. Which is amazing altogether. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me. None other will they follow. So we read there, okay, that in various times in the past, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. But today, he speaks through his Son. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, for anyone who's taken notes, in verse 3, Jesus prayed, Father, eternal life is this, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And, you know, there's stuff to reflect on there. When we read about eternal life is this, to know you, the only God, and Jesus. Jesus was the man Christ Jesus. He is actually God come in the flesh. The scripture tells us that. In Deuteronomy, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, our God is one. So here we have a group of followers of Jesus. And they would have all believed God is one. And we need to know and have the assurance in our heart that God is one. I was sitting on a plane coming from Israel, and I have a ring, and it says, it's the Shammai, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, okay? And the Jewish guy sitting beside me says, oh, you have a Hebrew ring, you know? I says, yeah, do you know what it says? And he read it out, and I says, that's what I believe. Yeah, but you're a Christian. Do you not believe in three gods? Absolutely not. The Lord our God is one. So the onus of responsibility is on us, okay, and on the shepherds as well to teach, but it's on you as well to say, what do I believe? Search the scripture. The Bereans were astute. They searched the scriptures daily to find out if the things that they believed, that they were being taught, were true. So they searched the scriptures. So here we have God is one, and yet Jesus praying in John 17, eternal life is this, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And yet again, in John chapter 14, verse 1, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You who believe in God, believe also in me. So you have faith in God. And the Jewish people did have, you know. We know that when some of these guys were confronted with the holiness of God, like Peter says, be gone from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. That he knew there was something different about Jesus. Isaiah the prophet in chapter 9, verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So, we have a prophecy from Isaiah the prophet telling us about unto us a child is born. And we know that that verse of scripture refers to Jesus and what he would be called. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. We don't hear people in the scripture addressing Jesus in these terms when he walked the earth. Everlasting Father. And yes, it's there. So I just want to point out two things in relation to knowing God, okay? One, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, it says that Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And again, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Amen. So when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel had commanded him, and he took his wife, but knew her not until she gave birth to a son and called his name Jesus. Yeshua, which means salvation or savior, because he was to save his people from their sins. But he knew her not. So the word in John's gospel that Jesus spoke about, eternal life is this, to know thee, the one true God. It's talking about an intimate, personal relationship with the Father, with God. It's the same as in Genesis that Adam knew his wife and she conceived. It's intimate relationship. So we have some considerations in relation to our relationship with God. And we see it, I suppose, one in the person of Enoch, who was with God, okay? And in Genesis chapter 5, does anyone know what Enoch means? The name. It means teaching. And there's a whole heap of different names in that chapter in Genesis. To look at the names and what they mean is just amazing, because the salvation message is there in it, actually. But Enoch lived 65 years and he had Methuselah. Methuselah means that his death shall bring. Now, Enoch walked with God and he begot Methuselah 300 years and he begot sons and daughters. So for 300 years, Enoch walked with God. And then God took him. And the next we read about Enoch is in Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse 5 it says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. And before he was taken, he had this testimony in himself that he pleased God. And verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So how do we get this faith? Hearing the word. It comes by hearing. So the more we read the scriptures, the more we listen to the scriptures being read, the more we reflect on this, it builds faith in our lives. I mean, in the morning when you get up, do you have to look under the bed for your slippers or that? It's a good place to start, on your knees, that I'm saying, you know? Because if we give this time to God, then God will bless us through the day. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from me. Not just once a week, but daily, as we come to him, as we put our lives into his hands. So again, we hear about Enoch in Jude verse 14. It's a small little reference, okay, but it's an amazing one because he's speaking about the end time. So the relationship that Enoch had with God, God spoke to him about things in the future. That's what I'm just saying, you know. He had an amazing relationship with God. For 300 years, it says he walked with God. Just think of it. 300 years. I became a follower of Jesus when I was 28. And 40 years on, I'm walking with God. I had ups and downs. And through them we learn. And it makes us steadfast. But he wants us to be on the road. He wants us to be following him wholeheartedly. And I do believe that we're living in an amazing time of God's grace. God wants us to have this depth of relationship that the likes of Enoch and all the other people of faith had. And I'm sure each of us here wants this testimony in ourselves that we're pleasing to God. It's impossible to please God without faith. So it's a thing of faith. If you want to please God, have faith. Have trust in him. Be believing in him. For 3.5 years, the disciples and the apostles of Jesus followed him around. They listened to his words. They saw his miracles. They even went out. He sent them out. And he says, okay, heal the sick, raise the dead. You know, freely you receive, freely give. So they went out and they came back rejoicing, we know from the scriptures. They said, even devils submitted to us when we used your name. And he said, don't rejoice because of this, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. Yet these disciples were left scratching their heads, my expression, okay, at times, who Jesus is. And he was preparing to leave them. And he had loads of words of encouragement to tell them. And they struggled with this. It is perhaps, you know, the visitors here today, just, I'd like to welcome you, you know. And maybe we can do a small little exercise. possibly. In three little words, can I just ask you, who are you, you know? Even some, would you like to tell me who you are? In three words. It's one little. I am a child of God. Yeah? Yeah, well, that's grand, okay? So, who are you? I mean, even if you mention your name, I don't mind, okay? Three words. This lady, Renee, said, I am a child of God. Anyone, if you're shy, we're all family here. Anyone else? Who are you? In three words, call it out.
I am me.
I am me, okay? Very good. Anyone else? Great. In his image. Okay. Anyone else?
Forgiven.
Pardon? Forgiven. Yeah, just put in words. Three words, okay?
I am blessed.
I am blessed. Amen. The reason I asked, okay? People in the world take the Lord's name in vain often. And we cringe, you know? But I want to suggest to you that God has put in our vocabulary, his name, and most people name his name on a daily basis, oblivious to it. I am is his name. Yeah? I am who I am. I am that I am. So, when you say, I am blessed, that's God. God has blessed you. You know? And that's what he has done in our language, you know? So, we have it, okay? So, I am Stephen. Do you know what your name means? Do you know what your name means? I don't want to put you on the spot, okay? Crown, okay? Crown, crown.
Crown,
yeah? A crown, okay. More precisely, something that surrounds, yeah? So we've seen, okay, so Methuselah means that his death shall bring, okay? John, what does that name mean? Yeah, Jehovah has been gracious. Because, you see, this is where the name originates from. Jehovah has been gracious. Noah, what does that mean? Comfort or rest, yeah? Exactly. So his name is Comfort or Rest, okay? Root, faithful, okay? Matthew, what does that name mean? A gift of the Lord. Amen. So we have all names that mean something, yeah? My name is Jeremiahu, okay? That's Jeremiah. What does it mean? It's praise of God. Yahu is God, okay? Yeremiahu, and praise of God. So, that's why, you know, some people are saying, what on earth is this guy doing, you know? His name is Jerry, but it's Yeremiahu, okay? I was told by an Israeli, you should call yourself by your full name because it's in praise of God. Amen? So we can praise God with our names. We can praise God by saying, I am blessed. God. That's his name. I am. Okay? Hallelujah. So Peter answered a question, this question on one occasion. Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am? And you'd often see Jesus in the Gospels using terminology And you think, wow, that is amazing, you know? And so they were given the opinions, first of all. You're John the Baptist, one of the prophets risen from the dead, Elijah. They had all different theories who this Jesus may have been, you know? And Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter says, or Jesus said to Peter, you are blessed. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And it certainly does take a revelation from God for each and every one of us, even in our day. You can learn, this is what the scripture says. But it takes a revelation from God to take that knowledge and to make it alive in your life. And when you realize it, it's life-changing. It will have you in that place, looking for your slippers underneath the bed, yeah? On your knees, giving glory to Him. Because that's what we were created for, to know, love, and serve Him. And the Father God is seeking worshippers. He's put eternity into our hearts. And He wants us to develop, and He wants us to grow in that grace. Could you imagine? Enoch was probably an ordinary man. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't one of those chosen people, and yet he was chosen. And here is God walking with Enoch down the road of life for 300 years. Life radically changed. God spoke to him amazing things, okay? And God wants to do the same in each of our lives. He picks ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And He has called us to bring this life-saving message to all those around us. And yes, we do pray that God will move mightily across this town. We don't know the impact that you or that I will have in other people's lives. We're called just to give the message, share His love, and let it to God then, because He'll do it. In John chapter 14, and verses 7 to 10, if you had known me, Jesus said, you would have known my Father also. And have seen Him. And Philip said to us, Lord, show us the Father. And that will be sufficient for us. And Jesus said, how long have I been with you, and yet you do not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? John 10:30 says, I and the Father are one. One and the same. They are one. In Jeremiah, and if you're searching through the scriptures, look at chapter 9, if you have it there. Verses 23 and 24. Anyone who wants these references, I'll give them to them after this. It says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who boast, yeah, chapter 9, let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love and justice and righteousness in the earth. That's what God is doing. So if we have to boast about something, this is what Jeremiah was saying. Boast in this, that you understand and know me, But we read in Hebrews, in times past, God spoke through the prophets, but now he has chosen to speak through his Son, Jesus, who is God come in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God come in the flesh. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as showers and as the spring rains that waters the earth. We're encouraged all the way through Scripture. Let us press on. Let us go on in faith. Because this relationship that he has, he wants us to develop and grow in. And of course, just to remind us, in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I looked up at several translations of the scripture and it says, who seek him. But I see that the word diligently is there. Diligently seek him. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be diligent about seeking him. To be earnest. So how can any human being do this? Can mere mortals approach a holy God? We cannot, but God came down to make him known, himself known to us. And he did this in the person of Jesus. He revealed himself as the great I Am. He paid a price for us sinners to come to the throne of grace. His call still goes out. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He doesn't want us to be heavy laden. He wants to give us this rest, this peace. So you cannot have rest, peace, or shalom until you have the Prince of Peace reigning in your life. He wants us, each and every one of us, to put our lives into his loving arms. Every moment of every day. Seek him early in that secret place. He will meet us there. Draw aside and be refreshed. Be renewed. Get alone with him. Wherever, whenever, and often. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, if you have it, please turn to it. And I will finish with this. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. It doesn't matter what we're going through. He knows it. But he says, in everything, give thanks. I know that's a hard thing to do if things are not going well. But if we have a thankful attitude, God enables us and lifts us up out of whatever situation we find ourselves in. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And it says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. So, I would encourage you, each and every one of us, each and every one of you, you know, just to be in that place of receiving. And I often talk to people on the street, and I don't want to make a big scene. I'll pray with you now. I've done it at festivals and that. But, you know, you can do this in your own bedroom. Get alone with God. Call out to Him. He blesses that coming. You know what it's shown God? When you kneel by your bed and you talk to Him, do you know what it shows Him? That you have faith. You're not talking to the air. You're talking to the living God who created the heavens and the earth, who made all things amazingly. And in comparison with the whole universe, planet Earth is tiny. And you're only one person on that planet. You know what Jesus said? Not one sparrow falls from the sky, but your Father knows about it. How much more are you worth? And as you come into His presence, as you put your life into His hands, as you worship and praise Him in the morning, in the day, in the evening, God honors that and will bless you in that relationship, just establishing it and making it solid. Amen? Praise God. So I'm just going to close in prayer. If anyone wants prayer, you know, Larissa and Steve are here and others that will pray with you. So, Father God, we rejoice in your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, as we reflect on this, that your Holy Spirit inside in us will yearn for us just to grow deeper in our relationship with you. And we thank you for our time this morning. We thank you for meeting with us. We thank you for being here. And we rejoice in you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.